Hello, and welcome back to Multiform, an Xbox podcast. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Gus Harden.
Hello.
And this is episode 50.
Getting close to that 1 year.
I know. I looked at the dates, and I think episode 53 is going to be the 1 year anniversary, which will be
perfect because Spencer will be done with the bar exam, and yep. He can be back for our 1 year episode.
I think we record like 4 days after he gets done with the bar exam, so he's going to miss. Yeah. He's going to end up missing three episodes because he's going to miss next week's.
Well,
also.
I mean, his test is the 30th and the 31st, so I mean,
we'll record the next episode before that.
Yeah, I guess we would. Well. I don't know.
I looked at a calendar.
The 27th is when is next Saturday.
Yeah, so that's 3 days later. We would normally record on the weekend. So.
Well, that'll be episode 51 though.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. Oh,
he'll be back well, for 52. Yeah, well in advance. Yeah, for 52 and 53.
Yeah, which is good. Let's start as we always do with what we've been playing. What are you up to?
I finished the Fate of Atlantis DLC for Assassin's Creed. I had a lot of fun with it, especially the last one, the last chapter of it.
That just came out last Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it reminds me so much of what I wish that Curse of the Pharaohs would have been in Origins, which, don't get me wrong, was still a top-tier DLC. I said in our multi-form group chat that that Curse of the Pharaohs, Fate of Atlantis, and the Shadowbroker DLC for Mass Effect 2 are my three favorite DLCs of all time. So, yeah, but like I said, Fate of Atlantis is like the direction that I wish that they would have gone with in Curse of the Pharaohs and like introduced more of the Isu. Because I remember I told Spencer about what I was thinking about Curse of the Pharaohs and that I thought that the Pharaohs might have been Isu or like descendants of the Isu. And I don't know, so... That'll be a spoiler for you because you haven't actually played it yet, I just realized.
No, but I actually did play Assassin's Creed Origins this week. I'm trying to that's like my main story game that I'm working on right now.
How far are you in that? Like, what part are you at right now?
I'm level 30, and I just took out the, what's the crocodile? Is that what they're called?
Oh, yeah, the crocodile is one of the... the orders, I think, is what it's called.
So I just took
the
out
the order of the ancients.
I took out the crocodile, and I'm headed to the next location. The funny thing is, if you look at like the list of story missions, I'm like well over 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah.
But if I look at the map, there's a 2/3 of the map has been untouched.
Like the side mission. Oh, you're talking about like the actual like fog of the map.
I still have a fog of war over 2/3 of the map, even though I'm 2/3 of the way done. It's like inversed. I know ridiculous. You can fly as is it Sinu? Is that the name of the bird?
Oh, Sinu. Sinu.
Yeah,
I think
you can fly as him for infinite distance. So, like some places say, like just take control of your bird and fly.
Well, usually,
around
I think if you get
map.
Too far away from Bayek, I think he actually it sends you back to Bayek.
Oh,
because that's what it does in Odyssey. If you're playing when you're playing as Alexios or Cassandra, and you get into why am I blanking on the bird's name?
I don't know what the bird's name is in Odyssey.
I should know. But that is being escaping me right now. So, but yeah, so like if you get too far away, then it transitions you back to the, back to your player character.
So Spencer really loved one of the Origins DLCs. Was it Curse of the Pharaohs?
It was Curse of the Pharaohs. That was the one that I know that we both had a lot of fun with. Cause well,
did you like this more or less?
I think I liked Fate of Atlantis more. I think they're almost equivalent in my mind. Like I said, they went the direction in Fate of Atlantis that I wish they would have gone with in Curse of the Pharaohs. I'll admit I wish that instead of pharaohs, you had like been with like Egyptian gods. Because I'm gonna be straight up honest with you right now. I feel like this is the direction that they are going now with. Because I think God of War did it now, because we're now in the Norse pantheon of gods, and that's like the one of the main cultures. I know they were like teased it, didn't they? Say, I don't know, it might have been debunked. The Vikings teaser for the new Assassin's Creed.
I think the visual leak was debunked, but I think the game is still rumored.
Yeah,
and that rumor still holds some water.
So I'm thinking that with the Greek gods,
you know what? Because remember they teased it in The Division. There were
that's what I'm
Viking
saying. Yeah,
posters
the posters.
In the game.
Yeah, but I thought they got debunked.
Well, that didn't get debunked. What got debunked is somebody said they had leaked
like
images from the game
footage.
And they were just like doctored or whatever.
But yeah, so I think that the direction that they're going to go now with, or at least that I hope they go in, is if they do go with Vikings, that they bring in the pantheon of gods that they had as Isu. It makes sense to do that. And that, like I said, that's that's what I wish the direction that they would have gone in for Curse of the Pharaohs was that they brought in Egyptian gods and kind of just like would go through like different pantheons and everything. Cause that seems super interesting to me because they basically just use like, I don't know, without getting too much into Assassin's Creed lore, which I have a very large database in my brain about, I just really hope that they can kind of keep going on with that. Vikings would be one big one that I think would be really cool. And either Japan or like feudal Japan or China, what I think this would still be awesome. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, it's funny because years and years ago, we always talked about how much we wanted an Egypt set Assassin's Creed. And now that we've had it, we've talked repeatedly about how like China or Japan, like in
the it's the movie. Only next logical step other than not Mesopotamia, but like Aztec or Mayan.
I guess we haven't had anything like
we have not had
Eastern
anything,
European.
Yeah, I guess we haven't really had anything like that, like Russia, like Poland.
Or like Australia
Romania.
Would be kind
yeah.
of weird.
With like the Aboriginals. I'm thinking Mayan or like Aztec would be super cool too.
Yeah, that would be cool. Although that's really heavily treaded in the Tomb Raider series.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it could be done well. Because, I mean, Ubisoft has done really well with all of that. So.
Yeah.
And then I've been playing Minecraft.
Was it after last week's show that I played your world, or was it the week before?
I think it was the week before. We had you join, and you found my random dog that I had lost. And then, just so you know, he died in the Nether. So, at least I think he did. He made a weird noise. He made, like, a yelping noise when I was going back through the portal to, like, the normal realm. And now he's just gone, so I don't know what happened. So, rest in peace.
Interesting. So, what I've been playing... I decided randomly to binge through the last three tombs of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider season pass. So there were seven DLC tombs.
I can't remember if I got that or not. I think I just got the base edition.
Yeah,
of
I think
the
you
Tomb
just
Raider.
Got the base because yeah. you and Spencer were both like swore it off. It was basically.
I mean, it's not that I swore it off. It was like a good one off game.
Yeah. And you didn't miss much because the seven DLCs are seven challenge tombs. Each DLC was a challenge tomb. And every single
Which
one.
Are fun.
Yeah, every single one was the normal puzzle piece of this challenge tomb, and then, like, one combat area.
Yeah.
And it was got kind of repetitive, where you do that seven different times. Yeah, each one had a different theme, and some of them looked really cool, and the puzzles were really fun. But after you played the whole base game, it's like, okay, do I really need this many more challenge tombs? Although, I did enjoy them all. None of them were, like, cop-outs or anything. But I finished all those, all seven of them. And finally was able to cross off Shadow of the Tomb Raider on my list. I've played everything, enjoyed it all, and uninstalled it. and then I also dipped into Apex Legends Season 2. It's the first time I've checked it out since it came out. Some friends that I used to play Destiny 2 with were playing it, so I decided to jump in with them. And my second game, we got second. We almost won. It was very close. And I think my third game, I got second, too. So I didn't win yet, but I've only played, like... five matches.
Yeah, did well enough to keep you coming back.
Yeah.
Like golf or slot machines.
I really wish Apex Legends had a solo and a duo mode. The fact that it forces you to have three or get paired with a random is kind of annoying.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like PUBG or Fortnite where you can solo queue really easily. Because I feel like I would play it more when I just want to kill like 20 minutes or whatever to play one match by myself without having to like get on mic and find a crew. But I'm not sure. Maybe their map isn't big enough to support 60 individual people without teams.
Yeah. Speaking of Shadow of the Tomb Raider being a one-off, as much as I hate to admit this, I've moved Red Dead officially into that category.
Red Dead 2?
Yeah, Red Dead 2. I loved it. It was awesome. Like it was a great experience. It was like a living movie, in my opinion. But it was just so large. I did so much and I sunk so many hours into it that like I feel like it has no real like tangible replay value. Like I'm sure any Red Dead, I'm sure we'll get comments on this that will say that I don't know what I'm talking about or that I don't know good games, but whatever. I just can't see myself getting back into it anytime soon.
Well, I don't think that's something to diss on. Like a lot of these larger games, once you sink in 150 hours, you want to take a really long break before you do it again. Yeah. Like, I was looking at a playtime on Assassin's Creed Origins, and I saw you and Spencer both have 120 hours each.
Oh, yeah, because we 100%ed it. So yeah. That was what was huge. I mean,
going back and replaying that would not have a whole lot of, like,
the new game plus value. Yeah, with, like, new game plus, what I want to do is I would like to go back with Odyssey and replay Odyssey and go do the new game plus with Alexios. The exact opposite of what I did before.
Yeah, in that at least you have different character choices and options.
But in the Origins game overall, it's the same thing. So,
well, and Red Dead's so big, even if you did want to go revisit it, you could just do all the other content and not play the story. Yeah. But I feel the same way as you. Like, I know I have other stuff to do in Red Dead, but when I have 20 other games that I'm playing...
Oh, yeah,
playing,
so I have a backlog of, like, stuff that I want to play. Like, I have the Division 2 that I want to play. Wildlands, the new thing for Wildlands, which we'll get to later. I'll probably end up getting back into that, so I don't know. It's just to kind of end off the what we've been playing section, I've moved that into that category.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much, like, happening right now as far as with new releases coming out, because, like, we actually don't have this anywhere in the news. Wolfenstein Youngblood comes out this Friday. Like, this is going to post on Monday, and then Friday Wolfenstein Youngblood comes out. I finished Wolfenstein 2 about a month ago, but I kind of wanted to play more of the DLC before the next one comes out. And it's a co-op game, so if you or Spencer gets it, we could play it in co-op over Xbox Live. So
I feel it's only two-player, though, right?
Yeah, two. Okay. But I mean either of you, because Spencer's busy with the bar, so, like, if you get it, you and I could play it through in co-op. And it's only $30, so I don't feel like it's a huge ask to be like...
That was going to be my next question. I couldn't remember if it was... of $30 or $40.
Did you play Wolfenstein 1 or 2?
I watched them on YouTube.
You're not allowed to say that anymore. I'm recording that now for all posterity. You're no longer. If you haven't played it for yourself, you're not allowed to have an opinion on this show.
I mean, it's cool. It looks cool. Yeah, I just couldn't, like, there are so many games that I just can't justify spending money on.
Well, also, we all three, like, that's the thing about this podcast. We all three have full-time jobs or full-time students.
Yeah, yeah. Not only...
The podcast is not our job. We're not YouTubers that do this all day, every day.
As much as we wish we could.
Yeah, but... we do this 3 hours a week in the time between jobs and families.
Me less. I show up for the content. I do all my research when I get here, and then I kind of spout off what I think I know.
I was being generous with the 3 hours per week. I guess for me it's more because I do the production behind the scenes and the prep. But
yeah, I would say on average it's probably 3 hours between the three of us.
But my whole point was as a normal consumer, you have a certain number of hours per week, unless you're the type of person that doesn't have family, doesn't have friends, doesn't have a job, works from home, any of those kind of scenarios. But if you're more traditional, like 9 to 5 or 5 day a week kind of situation, and you have, you know, a wife and kids or anything like that, you're definitely not going to have as much game time, and you have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
You can't play everything, especially if it's stuff like Red Dead, Assassin's Creed,
and not
Destiny.
Only that, but also, like,
these are huge
other
games.
Interests too, like
you're not allowed to have other interests.
Yeah. Like movies, TV shows. Like, I mean,
TV shows is a big one that competes for time. Yeah.
The Witcher, the new TV show. Like, I haven't read any of the books. I haven't played any of the games, but I saw the trailer for the new Witcher and it looks awesome.
I know.
I know Spencer said he was all in on Henry Cavill being Geralt.
Yeah. He said the trailer really sold him. The ending is pretty great. My wife saw it and she's like, I'll watch that with you. And that's not normally her type of thing.
I was like, I'll watch it. And I have absolutely nothing about, like, any sort of prior knowledge about The Witcher other than what I've seen Spencer play, which is mostly just Gwent.
I love that Henry Cavill is a gamer and that he has played through The Witcher 3 three times. Like, he has so much cred.
Yeah, no, that definitely was a big surprise to me when I found that out, the Henry Cavill being
he missed the call for getting the role of Superman because he was playing World of Warcraft and he had to call Zack Snyder back after the, like, raid or whatever. He's told that story on, like, YouTube and, like, late night TV shows all the time, and you can see the clips on YouTube.
Henry Cavill, if you ever want to come on and talk about video games, you're more than welcome if you ever hear this.
If Henry Cavill were to appear on this show, a lot would have need to have changed between now and that happening.
Yeah, well, you never know. He might be what shoots us into stardom. Henry, please, come watch or come be on our show.
Please. Save us, Henry. One Kenobi. You're our only hope.
All right. Well, we
I love
probably,
your Superman.
Yeah, we should probably get into the news now. We've been bantering for quite a while.
Okay, so news time. First thing in the news is Gears 5. And I got a couple things on this because the tech test started this last weekend, which means for like 3.5 days, they had multiplayer, a couple different modes, and boot camp all available. Plus, you could see the tour of duty, whether you had Xbox Live, or I'm sorry, if you pre-ordered the game, if you have Xbox Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, yeah, any of those ways you could play the game. So I've played it, and we'll come back to it in a second because I want to talk about my impressions after some other stuff here. But leading up to this, they said that Gears 5 is going to be the biggest Gears game in history. And specifically, here's a quote. Gears 5 is the largest Gears of War to date. It's the largest campaign ever made. It's the largest PvE ever made. And it's the largest versus ever made. So it really seems like they're packing a lot into this game. Because if you think about it, you got campaign mode. You got horde mode. You got versus mode. You got versus arcade mode. You got escape. And you've got the competitive, like, ranked versus, which is maybe the same as versus if you want to lump those together, but it's really a different experience. So it does seem pretty robust. Secondly, they also revealed what arcade mode is, because you might think like Star Wars Battlefront 2 arcade mode is basically their horde mode.
Yeah.
But in this, it's their arcade mode is a multiplayer mode. So what they created this for is it's a more easy entry point for newcomers. People that aren't used to the hardcore gameplay of multiplayer Gears, where it's like rolling in shotguns and shotguns are OP and everybody uses them and you have to have a lot of skill. Well, this arcade mode opens it up a little bit more to be a little more user-friendly. It's the first to 50 kills. You select a character from the campaign as like a hero character, and each one has a different ability and it spawns with a different gun.
So this sounds like the hero assault, air quotes, what they tried to do in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
It's like you have like abilities and stuff.
So it's like I played it, and like you could play as Kate and she has the hammer burst. And then you can play as Marcus and he has the chainsaw,
the Lancer.
And he's somebody awesome. Else had, oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't have that. His son does, JD.
Oh.
He has the new gun they created in Gears of War 4 that's like a little submachine gun. I forget the name of it.
Okay.
Anyway, and then they have special abilities like they might be able to run faster when they're doing roadie run, or they might be able to... the one I liked was when you aim down the sights, you don't flinch as much when shot, so you can still aim really well while you're being shot at. Also, so each kill you get a skull, or each execution or any kind of down or anything, and those can be used as currency to unlock, like, ultimate guns. But you don't have to go somewhere to spawn them. You just hit a button and then hit the D-pad in the direction you want. You hit Y to go to the store anywhere on the map, and then hit up, down, left, right on the D-pad for the weapon you want.
Now that sounds like Counter-Strike almost.
It instantly appears in your hand. So, like, you could be on the defensive, somebody rushing you, and you hit Y, left on D-pad, pull out this massive gun, and just start mowing them down.
Blow them away.
So it creates like a new strategic thing where people can't just assume that they have you in a corner because anything could happen. So I played the tech test. It takes you through boot camp mode, which is like a training mode. I wish this was skippable because it was horrendous. It's like everyone that there's been 5 Gears games before this.
Yeah.
And including Judgment, everybody that's played those 5 games knows everything you just showed me. Let me skip this.
Yeah. I feel like, what's your take on games that have been around forever? Like it seems wild to me that Gears would have anything like that, because I feel like if you're not in on Gears by this point, that you're not in on it.
Well, they have to have
bad as that sounds.
They have to have entry points for newcomers.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get that, but like,
let me skip it.
Yeah,
if I played your other 5 games and maybe I missed it, maybe
yeah,
I had to
be
pause
like
it.
A veteran discount.
maybe I had to pause it and go down to click skip, or maybe because it's the tech test they made everyone do it.
Yeah.
But, so let's talk about in the tech test, they have 2 modes. They have arcade versus, which is what we just talked about. And then they have the normal ranked mode that's kind of like domination or control the zones, where you have to control 3 zones.
King of the Hill?
It's not King of the Hill. It's more like, what do they call it?
Oh, domination.
Yeah, but it has
Call
a name
Duty.
In Gears. It's
I don't know.
Like execution, or I forget what it is.
I couldn't tell you.
But so there's some challenges that you have to do, like get 75 kills, get 150 executions and something else. And if you get that, you get like a tester banner in Gears 5 when it comes out.
Cool.
And The other thing they had is a teaser of the Tour of Duty, which is what those challenges were in. So Tour of Duty is going to be that way to unlock cosmetics. So this has like a mini Tour of Duty, and it just says Tour of Duty, and it has those three challenges to unlock the tester banner in the final Gears 5. So that's that thing we talked about where they're going to have a path to earn cosmetics in the game with like challenges and daily challenges and stuff like that, and another way to do that via microtransactions. But how everything is going to be earnable in the game in some way, shape, or form. You don't have to spend money at all. Overall impressions is it seems really polished. For a game that's 2 months out and this is just a tech test, it was really, really good.
I would
good.
Hope. When did 4 come out? Like 2 years ago?
I think it's been 3 years.
Yeah, so I would hope. I would hope that a game has been polished after 3 years of work.
I will say the things I'm most excited about at Gears 5 are the campaign and the new escape mode, and neither of those are in this tech test. So... the other thing that should be said is the tech test is coming again this weekend. So you can get in there yourself if you have Game Pass or if you pre-ordered the game. And if you don't have Game Pass, we're going to talk about a deal for Game Pass later in the show.
Yep.
So, second big thing this week, San Diego Comic-Con is going on right now in Los Angeles. And...
Wait, what? San Diego Comic-Con in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm thinking in my head combined Comic-Con and the E3. Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con in San Diego right now. A lot of, obviously, comic book news and stuff, but also Xbox and PlayStation have a presence there, and some of the other publishers. And to combine those two worlds, you have Marvel's Avengers from Square Enix. They had a panel. They showed footage of the game, similar to what they showed at E3, gameplay of each of the Avengers in what is called the prologue of the game before the bad thing that happens before the game jumps 5 years into the future to the Avengers kind of defeated. So a couple little tidbits were revealed in that. They said the team is hard at work on polishing our A-Day demo, which is what they showed at E3 in San Diego Comic-Con. And we're going to release the footage online the week after Gamescom finishes. So they're going to polish the thing they've been showing at all the trade shows to get it to where it's up to the scrutiny that it'll get when it goes up on YouTube. And then finally it'll be released publicly. So that means sometime late August, early September, everybody will finally get to see this. Now, separately, the footage has leaked online because it's
naturally
San Diego Comic-Con. Of course it did. I saw the Thor footage, which I've seen two different leaks of. And besides there being some cool moves like throwing Thor's hammer and pinning a guy to the wall and then kicking butt with the other guys with your fists and then calling Mjolnir back to drop the guy to the floor, that's cool. But some of the animation and the way they did it, it just looked like a generic beat 'em up from like 10 years ago.
Like again, Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
This game has a year out, so a lot could change. It still could come around, and we haven't seen anything truly publicly, so this is definitely early stuff. But I still am very concerned about this game. I'm getting bad vibes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll reserve my judgment until, at the very least, the beta.
Yeah, and they are going to have a beta.
Exactly.
The other tidbit, and I'm not sure if this was known or unknown, but they said after you finish the prologue, which is that A-Day sequence, which is kind of like a tutorial, the world opens up and the helicarrier becomes your base of operations, and you launch both single player and co-op missions around the globe from your helicarrier. They also said that some missions, you'll be forced to play certain heroes because they're part of the story for that mission. But other missions, you'll be able to select any hero you want. So if you want to play through most of the story as Thor and only pick other heroes when forced, you can do that. Although, if it were me, I don't know. Who would I pick? Hulk, Thor? Who would you pick if you were going to play through as the same character the entire time? Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Black Widow, or Captain America?
Probably Captain America. I feel like using a shield would be too much fun to not do it. It would either be him or Thor.
I can't get over the fact that their Captain America looks like Don Draper.
Oh, John Hamm.
It looks exactly like John Hamm. Yeah. It doesn't look exactly. It looks like a video game version of John
Hamm. I know. I think, at least I'm pretty sure when we originally talked about this, we talked about how these guys are all just like discount versions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's so weird, too, because they got like well-known voice actors.
Yeah.
And the thing lately is like model it after your voice actors. Like that would have been better than these generic faces that look like Play-Doh smushed together with the MCU.
Yeah, they really kind of do look like that. I don't know. I mean,
it's still a year away.
I feel like a lot of places, or a lot of, I feel like developers most of the time will use like obscure models, like actual models. Like I know
like face models.
Yeah, like face models. Like model the guy, like the default face for Commander Shepard is like some no name like Canadian model, and then they used. I don't know why. My memory is awful. The guy who voices Commander Shepard, I know it starts with an M, but anyway, then he's the one who actually voices it. And so, and I feel like they did that with Ashley as well in that. But yeah, I know like, yeah, a lot of them recently have been modeling faces after voice actors and actresses. I know that's what they did in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Yeah, but it's not always the case, but that's like more, the more we go on and on where performance capture is the thing instead of just voice acting.
I think they wanted, like for this particular game, I think they wanted like some sort of like semblance of the MCU, because that's what people are familiar with, that's what people want. So they were like, well, we want to get close enough to these people without having to actually pay to use their likenesses. Because I'm sure you'd have to pay Chris Evans or
Robert Downey Jr. RDJ does not come late.
Yeah, a lot of money. And I feel like it just wouldn't be worth it. So just make it look like them, and then hire the best voice actors for a fraction of the price.
By the way, are you aware that all five of the first five MCU movies had a video game version? All five.
That's right, they did.
Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Captain America, The First Avenger. All five had their own video game version, and they were all horrendous.
Yeah, they're all bad. Yeah, I did know that. I had forgotten that the Hulk one existed, but I did know that they had made one for each of like the Wave 1 Avengers other than Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Well, yeah, I meant the movies. Like the movies named after them had their own game version. Although the second like phase of the MCU, they moved to mobile versions. There was a mobile game for like phones for every one of the movies. But we're getting way off Xbox. Let's get back to the news. This one's got Gus written all over it. Our third story, Ghost Recon Wildlands, got its final free update before its sequel, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, comes out this fall. And this, to me, is a really big update for like a three-year-old game right before a sequel comes out. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. And this is what sets Ubisoft apart from the competition. Looking at you, EA.
Let me go through some of this, and you can give me your reaction since you're our resident Ghost Recon Wildlands expert. Even though we've all played a ton of it.
Yeah.
It's PvPvE. So it's a mode where you start with only your knife and you get dropped into enemy territory and your goal is to escape via chopper. It's eight players, no teams. So it's eight individual players against the other seven. You drop in without any gear whatsoever except for a knife, and you have to loot for anything that you need. So you got to loot for guns and ammo and health packs and any of that kind of stuff. And your mission in the initial phase is to look for radio intel that will help you narrow down the location of where the chopper is going to land. Once you have three transmitters, the extraction zone is known to you. You have to get there. It tells you when the chopper is going to land. And then you have to protect the extraction zone. And you have to be there a certain amount of time before you can escape on the helicopter. Meaning, and it doesn't progress while anyone else is in the extraction zone. So, like, if I'm defending it, I have to fight off everybody else that has gotten three pieces of intel to be able to narrow it down. This mode sounds pretty cool, but it sounds like something you would launch a new product with. Like, this would be in Breakpoint as a selling point.
I'm sure it will be in Breakpoint as well. Yeah, it does sound really cool. I like that it's a... Because it looks to me, it sounds to me like what's going to happen is basically you're just going to be fighting computer-generated NPCs up until the very end, and then you'll fight real players. It's a cool premise to me. I mean, it's like you spend the beginning portion of the game getting everything that you need to actually go and fight people. It sounds like to me like what like the Dark Zone like originally kind of was. What they thought it was going to be.
It's also got a little bit of PUBG in there because you start with nothing and you're looting, and then instead of landing off of a plane, you're trying to escape via helicopter.
Yeah, now that I think about it, this literally is just the Dark Zone. I'm looking at it now. This is they have introduced Dark Zone gameplay into Wildlands. The only difference being that you start with your knife. Are you not drawing the same comparison here?
No.
I feel like this is the exact
I didn't see
same
it until
thing,
you
yeah.
called it out, but it definitely yeah. is a iteration
this is just,
of
yeah,
that.
This is just the Dark Zone, which I mean, again, I like the Dark Zone portion of the division.
So it's called, I forgot to say the name, it's called Mercenaries.
Yeah.
And if you remember, Ghost Recon Wildlands didn't have PvP at launch. They added it.
Yep.
It didn't have Tier 1 mode or any of the other stuff. They added it. It didn't have this. They added it. Like, this game has gotten more post-launch than most games launch with.
I can't, yeah, I'll admit, I cannot remember the last game that came with this much content.
And most of it was free.
Yeah, almost all of it was free. Like, other than Narco Road, what was the other one? The one where you're in the forest.
Forgotten Zeus, Fallen Ghosts.
Fallen Ghosts, yeah.
And to be honest, those two are not nearly as good as some of the stuff they added for free.
Exactly. Like, well, they aren't good. Almost the all of mission. The free stuff is way better than that. Because you actually keep your same progress with Fallen Ghosts, is like you're basically restarting.
So they also put some rewards in here. When you get your first win, you get a mercenary patch. When you get 3 wins, you get mercenary pants. 5 wins, mercenary heavy vest. 10 wins, jacket, army mercenary. 15 wins, mercenary heavy vest and shoulder pads. 25 wins, mercenary backpack. And if you just complete a match, you're awarded the Lone Wolf costume as a thanks for just trying the mode. And I don't know what that looks like, but it sounds cool. Lone Wolf.
Yeah. And
we
since,
should play this tonight.
Yeah, you, me, it's like myself, you, Spencer, and then I know my roommate also has Wildlands as well.
Well, I just realized that you can't play this as a team. It's 8 individual players.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I thought this was a...
No, it's 1v1v1v1 up to 8 players.
Never mind.
So you can't even play as a team.
So this is just the Dark Zone.
If you couldn't play as a team, because you can't in the Dark Zone. I mean, all I got to say is props to Ubisoft. You keep adding great stuff to your games, and even if nobody plays this, you gave a solid offering for free. Yep. No one would do this. Can you imagine Battlefield 5 adding big giant new mode right before Battlefield 6 comes out?
Every single item that has been added to this game would have been a paid DLC if it was EA.
And that's Ubisoft is not without fault. They do stuff wrong, too. I'm just saying they got
but
this
But they
right.
haven't for a while. They've been doing a lot of the right things recently.
People are pretty upset about that. Have you heard about what Watch Dogs Legion, how they're doing it?
Well, that's for a game that's not even out yet.
I know, but they're doing a partnership with the guy that played Robin in the Dark Knight trilogy. What's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
I actually liked him. I like him.
But the partnership is with his company, Hit Record, where they do user-generated content from the community. And the reason people are backlashing against it is they're basically saying, hey, if you submit art or whatever, you might end up in the game, but they're not really compensated or anything. And if they are, it's not fairly compensated, like if they were a hired employee.
Wow.
So they're both farming workout and they're not fairly compensating creatives and community members.
It sounds to me like unless you wouldn't have to participate in that unless you wanted to, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And I wasn't planning on covering it on the show, so I didn't even read that much into it. I'm just saying that is something the community is backlashing against Ubisoft on. So they're not
seems,
without
it seems
controversy.
Very minor. That seems like a very minor controversy to me. So.
Yeah, when you compare that to Anthem or Fallout 76.
Any EA title within the last 5 years.
You ready to move on to the next story?
Yep.
So GameStop is in some hot water. Retail.
So you want to talk about controversy.
Retail.
GameStop as usual.
Yeah, retail is dying. They recently got a new CEO or a new president or something who's supposed to help turn it around.
CPR, put the defibrillator on the company and bring it back to life.
Well, they're making changes, so at least they're trying. This newest announcement is that they're going to start experimenting with new store formats, a way to get people to come back to the stores when they're not buying games anymore. Here's some of the ideas they are going to be deploying. New ways to have stores focused on people being able to come in and try games before they buy them. And maybe that's like literally you go and say, I want to try this game. They pull one from behind the counter and sit you down on a
like
couch and let you.
But with like maybe like a game rental service, which like Gamefly.
Well, it's also kind of like, you know, you go to the shoe store, you try on your shoes. Like, yeah, sometimes you buy them on Amazon, but even Amazon will let you like return it.
There's
and
a lot
buy
of stuff that
I'll
try on and then I go home and I buy it off the internet. Because like maybe they don't have the same color scheme that I want or something like that.
That's called showrooming. There's actually a topic for that. And you know what? The guy that turned Best Buy around, I think he did a really good job because Best Buy was overpriced. They still are a little bit, but they were struggling against Amazon. So to prevent showrooming, they just said, you know what? We'll match Amazon's prices no matter what. Like, if you are in store and you like something, rather than go home and buy it in our store, take it home today, and we'll match the price. And there's no gotchas. There's no fine print. They don't try and charge you shipping. GameStop needs to be doing something like that, by the way. They need to be matching prices. Their prices are always higher. Like, why would I pay more to go to your store when I'm already going to be at Target or I'm already going to be at Amazon?
I would never buy anything new from GameStop. That's just not like, mainly just because I have like one, I have like a negative connotation towards them as was from forever, basically.
And they need to fix that with their brand positioning.
See, and the thing with me is the weird thing is I have a very positive connotation with Best Buy, and I have for years. Like,
which is funny because 10 years ago they were like not, they were the overpriced store that no one wanted
well,
to go to.
I never bought anything like tech wise. I've almost always bought video games exclusively from Best Buy. That's just where I would always go to actually buy a game, like a hard copy game. I'll just go there, buy it, or I'll pre-order, and that's where I get it from. I very rarely am I buying, because I've talked about this many times, that I do not like buying digital copy games. Maybe this is just me being like an old timey gamer, but I like the option of being able to sell the game for money if for whatever money I can get out of it, like if I do realize I don't play it anymore.
Honestly, I think it's important that some people do that. I think you should have choice, and if enough people don't choose that, then it's going to go away eventually. And I like having the choice. I wouldn't want the world to be all digital. Yeah. I want the option if I want something.
Well, it's just not reliable.
Well, anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. Yeah. So that's one, try before you buy it. Another one is having stores that are exclusively catered to retro games and buying them, playing them. This one I like because, except for it's kind of already filled by chain stores for used games.
Yeah, for here it's Disc Replay.
Here in the Midwest, in the Indiana area, we have Disc Replay. But we also have, what's that other one? There's literally one across the street.
From Disc Replay?
Yeah. The one, I can't remember which store it is because I've gone to a couple of them recently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember because I know the one.
We have two chains, is my point, that sell used games, and they sell all the way back to like Atari 2600. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go in and buy a Genesis or whatever you want.
I don't know if we talked about this. Spencer and I saw like a gray Xbox One S. I think it was an S. It was like a light gray. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because I remember they made the Taco Bell Xbox One X. But it was like that same color.
They made a
but it was a 1S, and I had never seen one of those before.
It was a Battlefield 1 launch, I think.
No, there was nothing unusual about it.
It was just a different color. I can't remember. It launched as a specific bundle with a game, but it had no logos. It was just a solid color.
Perhaps. I don't know. I thought they released special edition Battlefield 5 Xboxes. They had like the ones.
Yeah, I'm talking
like
Battlefield 1 though.
Or whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Battlefield 1.
Oh, you said 5.
So sorry, excuse me. Battlefield 1 had like they had one. It was called like Mud or something.
Yeah, I remember that one
because
we talked about it on the show. It was when the podcast was new. You know, another one that you never see, probably because it's a little rare. The Forza Motorsport one that had the blue racing stripe on it.
Oh wow! Yeah, you're right. That was a thing.
Anyway, their third thing they were talking about is stores focused on esports competitions. So this is kind of like, I don't know if you know this, but if you go to a Microsoft store and it's one of the bigger stores, they have an area for like esports and like trainings and stuff. The Microsoft stores are actually doing it the right way. Like, it's kind of a friendly place to go and just check stuff out. They have a whole gaming area, and they have esports competitions every weekend. In fact, I'm playing in one in August. I'm playing in a Rocket League competition at a Microsoft store.
Cool. That must be pretty large then, if that's the case.
Well, it's not huge competition. Yeah. It's, you know, like 10, 20 teams. I think it's probably more than that. But like the stores don't fit that many. It's not a huge store, but still, it's another way to get people into the store. And where else are you going to go to have like a LAN multiplayer competition experience?
The arcade, as it were, doesn't quite exist anymore in the capacity that we remember from like the 80s and 90s.
I mean, we have a few like arcade bars here in Indianapolis, but
yeah, but those, it's just not quite the same.
No, and it's also age limited. Like, you can't get in there if you're sub 21.
Like, it's not like where you can be a kid and you would go somewhere with your friends. Like, I remember there was this place called, they still have it, it's called Max and Irma's. It was
yeah
I can't remember where exactly it was, but they had an upstairs area that was like an arcade. They had like Mortal Kombat, like a bunch of fighting games, like that old Star Wars one where you could like use the lightsaber, like Luke's lightsaber. And every, like, I would beg to go there because before we would eat, I'd run up there with like a couple bucks in change and play video game or play games until the food was ready.
So last big story of the week is, the Xbox, and this is new. They normally have a summer sale, but that's earlier in the summer. This year they added a new sale, the Xbox Super Game Sale. It's going on right now. It ends July 29th, so if you're listening to this podcast the first week, it's still live. There's discounts on games, of course. They advertise it as up to 75%, but pretty much everything's on sale. Some of it good prices, some of it bad. I actually bought a few games. A couple things are on sale for 15, 20 bucks. I had some gift cards to burn. But, yeah, so if you're looking for a game, you might check your wish list if you use that feature or whatever.
Once Battlefield 5 is $10, I might buy it.
That's what I bought. Battlefield 5 is $19.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
I pulled
said,
the trigger.
Yeah, you caved.
$19.
You gave them $10 too much.
Okay.
In fact, you gave them $20 too much, if we're going to be truly honest.
Well,
but
I feel like I'll get my money. Yeah, my money's worth
that.
I would
say
bucks.
I got $10 worth out of Battlefield or Battlefront 2. So
I think I paid $20 for... No, I paid more for Battlefield 1.
I think you paid full price for Battlefront 2, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Big mistake. I've talked about it before. It was a huge mistake. Huge. Okay, so other things that are on sale. They have a deal where you can get 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate for the price of 1 month. So if you already have Game Pass and you want to throw another 3 months on, that's pretty cheap. Also, the Hyperkin Duke, which is the old Duke controller remade for Xbox One, that's on sale for $20 off, which is $50 is how much you have to pay. The lowest it's ever been, if you look at price tracking stuff, is $45. So $50 is actually a pretty good deal because it hasn't been that cheap often. And then the last thing is Xbox is now embracing something the community figured out, which is however many months of Xbox Gold you have and however many months of Game Pass you have, if you do the $1 upgrade to Ultimate thing, it'll convert all of those months to Ultimate. So let's say you have 10 months of Xbox Live and you pay the $1. It'll convert that to $10 of Ultimate without you having to, or $10, 10 months of Ultimate without you having to pay any extra.
Hmm.
So if you're like me and you buy like a year or 2 years of Xbox Live Gold at a time, you pay the year $1. Yeah. And suddenly
I pay like the yearly thing. So.
Yeah. So now you suddenly have 2 years of Xbox Live Ultimate with PC games, console, plus Xbox Live Gold. So if you have a lot, definitely do that $1 yeah. upgrade. And you'll get your money's worth because it's no cost.
Yeah, that's just a really good deal. In fact, I'm sure as soon as we're done here, I'll probably end up doing it.
Yeah, I text you and Spencer, and I was like, hey, because you guys
do it now.
Yeah, you guys both don't have Game Pass, yeah. Which Spencer, obviously, he's been in law school, so he plays the games he wants to play.
His money is also still scarce.
Yeah.
Until big boy job.
Okay, let's move on to some quick hits. First up. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 have never been on an Xbox console. Well, Amazon UK has a listing for Kingdom Hearts Collection, which has 1.5, 2.5, 1.0, 2.8, all, basically everything but Kingdom Hearts 3. And they listed it on their Amazon UK site as coming to Xbox One and PS4. I don't know how likely this is because I went and looked and it had already been pulled down. But it did seem like eventually it was going to come because Kingdom Hearts 3 came to Xbox. So... maybe that bundle had a one-year exclusive with PS4?
Perhaps.
So if you are an Xbox gamer that liked Kingdom Hearts 3, maybe there's some hope for you to get 1 and 2 on the console in the future. Next up is a new game announcement, sort of. Tropico 6 is coming to console. This game's already available on PC, but it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One. It's coming on September 27th, which is my birthday, coincidentally. So happy birthday to me, Tropico 6. Even though I didn't play Tropico 4 or 5, although I own them because I got them free on either Xbox, Steam, or some other way. And guess what? Continuing the list of games being announced that we probably aren't going to play, Sega has announced that they're porting Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz to current generation consoles, meaning Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. This game was a launch title for the Nintendo Wii. It came out on November 19th, 2006.
Jeez.
They picked this out of the ether to port to current generation consoles. Why this game? All the Super Monkey Ball games, why this one?
That literally sounds like they put a whole bunch of games into a hat, stuck their hand into it, and that's just what they happened to pull out.
Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz.
Never heard of it.
You've heard of Super Monkey Ball, right?
No. My Wii came with the like new and improved like Super Mario. And then, yeah, obviously Wii Sports.
I had a Wii.
I had the red one. I had the red Wii that came with, like, all that because my mom wanted, like, some work thing.
I got a Wii right after launch, and mine came with, of course, Wii Sports.
I feel like that's what everybody's came with, though.
Well, that was, like, the first year and a half. No. That was what they all came with. Yeah. Next quick hit, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Gamatsu translated some interview in Japan, and through that interview, it was revealed that, in addition to Goku, Piccolo, Gohan, and Vegeta will also be playable, as well as some of the other supporting characters will be not playable, but they'll be in battle. They'll be controllable through the D-pad, like giving commands, kind of like in Mass Effect. What I thought was interesting about this is when they say Goku, Piccolo, Gohan, and Vegeta are playable, this tells me that I don't think we're getting the entire Dragon Ball Z saga in this game, because those characters are all really prominent in like the first two or three seasons, and then it becomes much more focused on just Goku and Vegeta. So I don't know. And then there's also a lot of other characters that come into the story. So if you tell me those characters aren't playable, well, Trunks isn't in here. Does that mean we're not going to do any part of the story that has Trunks in it, or we're just not going to play as Trunks? And I know I'm getting way into the Dragon Ball Z lore here, but that's my real question about this game, is how far into the story of the show is it going to go? Like, because if this were only the like Earth Saga at the very beginning, that's not much of a game, because I've already watched that 1,000 times. I really want to play through some of the later stuff, like the Buu Saga, the Majin Buu Saga, and the Cell Saga, and some of that stuff. And I don't know if that's going to be in this game at this point.
I guess we'll see.
Lastly, we got the announcements for the back half of July for Game Pass. July 17th, Night Call is coming to Xbox Game Pass PC. I'm going to try and skip past the PC ones here. July 18th, we got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Hey, maybe I can finally finish that.
This is seriously top 10 games on Xbox One. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain is so, so, so good.
I had a lot of fun playing it, like I said, but I know I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I know it was recent, about how that... I literally could not progress any further because I could not get the APCs that were required. I needed like one or two, and then I finally did it, and it didn't count, so I gave up. I just deleted the game off my hard drive. I was like, I'm not. I tried for 3 days straight to do this.
You own this on disc or digital?
I borrowed it from Spencer, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or I think
so. If you convert Spencer, your game pass,
I think Spencer might have been borrowing it from you, and then I borrowed it from you basically third hand.
This feels like a violation of my trust when I loan someone a game and they loan it out to someone else.
It was something like that. I can't remember.
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain is so good. So you definitely need to convert your
I'll see if I can finally beat it. That might be what I'll end up playing until Madden comes out.
Diamond Dog is the goodest boy.
I agree. And it ain't Diamond Horse though.
I forgot about Diamond
Horse.
D-Horse. I like the dog because he barked. Never mind.
D-Dog.
Also, the Banner Saga 3 is coming on July 18th. That one's for Spencer. He's played the Banner Saga 1 and maybe 2, but he could play the 3, so if he gets his Game Pass converted. And then coming up, those are all already available, actually, because the 18th is passed. July 25th, we got For the King, which I don't know what that is, Killer Instinct Definitive Edition, and here's the big one.
Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4. I'm definitely going to probably check that one out.
Yeah.
And then Games with Gold, Inside is still available, Big Crown Showdown, and Meet the Robinsons, which Inside's the only one really worth anything there. But get that before the month is up. And probably by next week's show, we might know what Games with Gold is for next month, but maybe not, because it's going to be right on the line when we record. So.
Sweet.
Man, that's it for this week. It was kind of a slow news week, although I feel like we ended up going on quite a bit about Wildlands and your rant about GameStop.
I ran about everything, though. I'm a very opinionated person. What can I say?
So Spencer is going to be gone next week. It'll be bar time for him, and then he's going to be back for our one-year anniversary.
Say your prayers for our boy.
If you've listened to our show, thank you for giving us a shot. And if you would, tell your friends, tell your family.
If you know Henry Cavill, tell him as well.
Yeah, that's our new mission. Every episode now, we're gonna call out Henry Cavill until we hear from him. That's it for this week, I guess. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, and email the show at questions@multiformpodcast.com.
And then I'm Gus Harden. You can follow me on Twitter at Gus_Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes of Multiform post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice.